It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, Dave Arch is one of the toughest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
He had to be tough. We've seen the highlights of that Chicago Bears game.
Yeah.
He's I don't think Dave listened to this song right here, though.
You know.
I don't think Dave listened to this.
It's okay for a band to have.
I don't like Boston or anything. I don't think Dave listened to this.
A band can have layers. You know?
I don't think Dave listened to this one, though. I don't think so.
There's nothing wrong with a ballad. Time every once in a while, right, Arch?
I was wrapped in bandages after that 85 Bear game. You know, we all kind of got put in the bus like we looked like mummies after getting beat 38 to nothing by the Bears in 1985.
I mean, they did that in the Brutal. Super Bowl. So yes. They were doing that.
They did it to everybody.
That's wild.
Dave, I got a question real quick because going back to that game, when you were under center and you looked to your immediate right, there's Richard Dent and then there's Mike Singletary. Did you ever make eye contact with Mike and that face that he used to make?
I tried not to look at him. I felt like I would turn into Medusa. He was like Medusa. You turn to stone or something like that, or he'd come and just blow you up. Now, it was hard to look anywhere, Randy, in that deal. You had Dent out one side. You look the other way, and Wilbur Marshall and Otis Wilson are breathing fire on the other side, lined up side by side. You look over the center, it's William Refrigerator Perry, and you got Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael in the middle, and then, of course, there's Wild Eyes, Mike Singletary standing behind him. Then they got weaker in the secondary by having Dave Durison, Gary Fensick, and Leslie Frazier back there. Dude, it was unbelievable. that group, it's one of those only teams I can go back, and I can name every guy at every starting position.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you just did. That was really good. I'm not saying Vita Vea was doing that, but Vita Vea was playing some pretty good football, pretty good defense on Sunday for Tampa. When you go back and look at what the Falcons' run game was unable to do, is that the biggest reason why, or is it more of a Falcons issue?
No, I think they got out physical in the game. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, it wasn't just Vita Vea. I thought that Logan Hall did a good job. Greg Gaines, who comes in, is a big guy. Kalijah Kancey, who's not the biggest guy in the world, does a good job of knifing in gaps and creating problems. I thought Hassan Reddick's ability to come off the edge, Yaya Diaby. And you put all those guys together. I just think that they outplayed Atlanta up front from a physicality standpoint. I think they got after him a little bit in the pass game, too. Give Michael Penix credit for getting out of the pocket a couple times and also getting the ball off on time. He stood in and ate a couple of helmets to get the ball out to make some throws. So I would expect that group to be exponentially better in this game. Randy will tell you there's no group that takes more offense to being kind of a run-oriented team, which we kind of came into the game as thinking we were, and to be stoned like that in the run game. You can bet Dwayne Ledford and all those guys, Matthews, all those guys. Those guys are irritated beyond belief. They can't wait to get back on the field.
What do you think about the young quarterback, Dave? I mean, he played well. I thought he handled the blitz really well. Like you said, he was making throws under pressure. And then, obviously, the rushing touchdown and things like that made throws where I'm like, if another guy's in there, does he get to that? So what's your assessment of Mike?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Randy. I mean, there's not a lot you can take away that you didn't like about what he did. I mean, there's obviously going to be a throw or two here or there that he would love to have back, but he didn't put the ball in harm's way. You go back and look at Baker Mayfield's, you could probably point to three passes that should have been picked off that Mayfield threw. Mm-hmm. I don't remember seeing anything like that from Penix. He had a couple tipped at the line of scrimmage, but nothing necessarily that fell in and was going to be picked off. But he did a good job of doing that. And as you said, he stood in there, took some shots, got out of the pocket, extend drives. I love the way Zach Robinson opened it up. We're going to go empty the first play of the game. Hits Bijan for a 10-yard play, and then two plays later, he blows the roof off the stadium by hitting that check down. After reading, he had a deep shot on that third play, didn't like it, came off, got the ball to Bijan, and there's nothing wrong with getting number 7 the ball in open space.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Falcons, reacting to the first game, week one against Tampa, and we'll look ahead to the Vikings game coming up in a minute as well. Some injuries to the wide receiving core. Obviously, Mooney couldn't go Sunday. Drake gets banged up at the end. kind of a two-parter here. Do you know anything about those guys' availability for this weekend? And then if they can't go, what does it look like as far as the pass game?
Yeah, nothing official, Andy, as far as being able to give you something there. Obviously, Raheem will step to the podium here later on this afternoon and give you an injury report on guys. It would not surprise me to see Drake held out of practice today. He's a tough guy. You guys know that. And I think the diagnosis on him is one that they feel like that he potentially could play. And again, that's not coming from any inside the Falcons. I just knowing Drake now how tough he is and wanting to be on the field. I think the time frame is probably about right for Mooney to be ready to go too. So I told Duke Sabel yesterday, and I'll stick with it. I'm going to be surprised if both those guys don't line up this weekend. If they aren't able to play, then it elevates David Sills. He'll come in. He's got kind of the same body size as a Drake London. I mean, not quite as tall, but kind of the same catch radius, similar type player. Casey Washington, I thought, stepped up, did a pretty good job. And it means Ray and some of these other guys are going to have, Kadarrell Hodge, are going to have to play at a higher level, maybe even see an elevation of a Chris Blair who played real well in the preseason. But right now, I'm kind of holding out hope. And again, it's just me, but I think Mooney and London will play.
What about Kyle? I thought they did a good job, Dave, of just, you know, not letting when he was in protection be a dead route. I think he got in the flat. I think he ran a crosser one time. But what did you think of how Kyle played?
Well, that's the thing that was good about him, Randy, and you and I have talked about this before. He over the first few years of his career, other than the first year, he had a kind of a tendency to disengage.
Right.
And where he wasn't really kind of mentally into the game. I thought he stayed in the game throughout the game. He made one mistake. They had a deep over route against pressure. He, for some reason, got a little confused of whether he should keep running or shutting it down. Penix had him running with the running. If he kept running, it was going to be a huge play.
You saw Michael stopped. After that play telling him on the TV copy, you saw him point to that, what you're talking about.
Yeah, keep going because there was no reason for him to stop. There was no zone to hook up in. So a little confusion there. But other than that, I thought that the engagement of him being in the game, because he didn't get the ball early. He had to become a factor late, especially when Drake couldn't come back from the shoulder. I thought he was a huge factor in those last couple of drives. So I think that bodes well for you that he was able to stay in contact, and he and Penix are talking to each other on the sidelines. They've got a really good rapport. I know you guys have talked to those two guys about what they did in the offseason to kind of blend their rapport a little bit together. And so I think he's heavily engaged this year.
I know a guy that we talked about because he was a free agent acquisition during the offseason, but definitely didn't talk about as much as we talked about the draft picks or Leonard Floyd, the signing, was Devon Diablo. Devon Diablo played great on Sunday. Were you surprised to see him able to do all? I know that there had been some conversation about what he was able to do, but just talk about what you saw from him in that game.
Well, saw it, Andy, in practice. I mean, of course, we played them in December out in Vegas, and he had a pretty good game against us. I think 6 or 7, maybe 8 tackles against us in that game, that low-scoring game out there in Vegas, and I thought he was outstanding there. And then to get the thoughts of Jeff Ulbrich and of course, the Jerry Fontenot and those guys, they handpicked him. They went and got him. That's somebody Ulbrich wanted, so when you go out and handpick a guy from a free agent standpoint that fits what you want to do, you hope that it's going to plug in. You saw signs of it in practice with some of the things they were doing getting ready for the Tampa game. Then it came to life against the Buccaneers. I thought he was a problem. I know Bucky Irving's hoping he doesn't see Devon Diablo for a while. He had to pick him up on some blitzes, and he's sure he got his neck shortened about 3 times trying to pick Diablo up. And I thought he was everywhere. We saw him even in coverage. Remember, he was a safety at Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. Thought he made a play on a ball, almost picked it off there in the middle of the field, about 15, 20 yards down the field. So a lot of versatility, and I was excited about what he brought to the table.
Dave, what do you think overall of the defense? I know it was one clear miscommunication on the throw that Baker missed, but what do you think of the overall defensive effort?
Yeah, I thought it was really good, Randy. I know there's a lot of people poo-pooing it, and there's some even people on this station that are kind of, oh, where were the rookies? How come they didn't sack the quarterback? I mean, Baker Mayfield, he made 2 plays, and 2 of them, and those 2 plays are plays that you made a mistake in the secondary. I mean, the one you're talking about, Xavier Watts takes too shallow of an angle. He intercepts the pass. He's playing a robber technique, and he rotates into the middle of the field. Baker never saw him. But he took too shallow of an angle, and it went over the top of his head. He did the same thing later on and should have picked it off. Remember, he dropped the interception. And then the next time, and I heard Baker talking about it, he said they knew that Bates had the kind of that thing that he likes to jump that inside breaking route, and so they timed it up perfectly. Give them credit for calling the play at the perfect time. They had called it earlier in the game. Jesse'd stayed back, but they ran Evans inside on that little dig route from the slot. Bates jumped it and he threw it over the top to an outside technique corner and Hughes. He couldn't get there to Ibuka. Those are the only two plays they made mistakes on. They flushed him out of the pocket. They hit him. You allowed 260 yards of total offense. This was a team that was fourth in the National Football League or third in the National Football League in offense. They were only 300 yards. They were only under 300 yards three times last year. I mean, this was a really solid defensive performance. They ran for 160 yards in this game last year.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, you know, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And they had 62 yards. You take Baker's scrambles away. Now you can't, and that's something they have to fix. You got to pick the ball off when you have a chance. Caden Ellis had a chance to pick a ball off in the right flat, didn't do it. And Xavier Watts had an opportunity down in the deep red zone to pick one off that would have afforded a field goal, I think. If he makes that interception, you take points off the board. Got to make those plays. And then this week, obviously against J.J. McCarthy, which I know you guys are going to get to, they need to keep him from getting out because he found a little life in the fourth quarter against the Bears moving around.
I'm assuming coming out of because we got Joe Patrick and guys tweeting about it, Dave. Rod, he said he expects both wide receivers, Drake London and Darryl Moody, to play on Sunday.
How about that? Yeah. How about that?
Just, you know, like Art said.
It's like, you know, I just went and saw the seer. You know, you go to that show, the Vikings, and you go to that guy that doesn't have any eyes, and he's got the seer. Yeah, there you go.
That's good. We got seers. We got Medusa references.
It's
good.
It's all around. all around.
I hope, Arch, that this is the last time we ask you about this year, and I hope that we spend less time for the rest of the year talking about this than we have this week already, and that's the kicking position. Look, obviously they signed a guy yesterday. We understand why. Who do you think will be kicking on Sunday?
Andy, I don't like kickers. The only kicker I like is Butler, and Kevin Butler was on with Steak earlier.
I played golf with Kevin.
I love Kevin Butler. The rest of the kickers, you can have them. Okay, you don't even wash their uniforms. Why do we talk about kickers, okay? All right, so anyway, the kicking thing, I agree with you. But this is something you've got to fix, Andy. 12 of the 16 games this last weekend were one-score games. Raheem Morris has coached as a head coach here in Atlanta 18 games. 13 of the 18 games have been one-score games. Mm-hmm. You have to make your kicks when you have an opportunity. Atlanta's only won 6 of those 13 games. Got to get that fixed if you want to be a playoff team.
Yeah, no, that's great. I always love Arch gives us those every week, like one or two of those little stats. Yes. And I think to myself, I can't wait to repeat that for the next 3 days. Because that's what I'm going to do.
Take it like it's yours. Yeah. That's all. You own that one.
Yeah,
that's yours.
I found this stat myself.
Yes.
I'm so smart. Arch, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Always great talking to you guys. You guys take care.
Dave Archer there, Falcons Radio Network analyst. Obviously, he's up there. He's going to be talking to Coach and everybody getting ready for the broadcast on Sunday. But like you mentioned, Raheem Morris, optimistic about the receiver.
Yeah, but that's why, you know, when we were talking on Monday about after the game, and I was like, yeah, just the communication in the back, it just seemed like it was off. And those are the two plays that we were talking about. And Dave, basically, I mean, when you are a guy like just he don't make a lot of mistakes. But when you catch him in that, and it wasn't necessarily a mistake. It was more or less it's a dig. And whenever you run a dig, you always run a big eight behind it. I was always this dig runner, and there was always a big eight. And when you got an outside leverage corner, you have no shot, especially if the ball is thrown the way Baker threw that damn ball.
It was a perfect throw. Because, I mean, that thing almost hit the crossbar.
Yes, it was a
but obviously a Ibuka went up and got
it. Yes, it was a perfect throw, perfect play call for that position. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad. Obviously, you want to have all your good players out there. Mm-hmm. And so having Moody back with this offense, we understand what he brings to the table. He's more – he can stretch the field a lot more, you know, better than Drake. But not saying that Drake is slow or anything, but having him back and having your speed guy and your possession guy like a Drake, throwing Kyle Pitts, seeing if he can improve. I think that was a great point that Arch made about the engagement of Kyle. You know, because I've said this before, it's easy to get in – especially when you coming into the season – coming off of a camp like he had, where he's getting the rock and everything like that. And I promise you, in that first 15 plays that were scripted, I bet he had four. I bet he had four of them.
And I don't know that he got any in the first 15, did he? Yeah.
No.
So that's a credit to Kyle, too. Kind of expectation, but something we've seen in the past pop up. Like, he didn't get the ball. I was like mid second quarter.
I was like, damn, can he get one?
And then he got one and kind of got rolling a little bit. So, yeah, that was good, too. Thanks again to Arch. Always love catching up with him. A lot of great thoughts about what the Falcons need to clean up from Sunday to Sunday. And hopefully they do against the Vikings coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.